Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk episode 44, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Father Corey Stika, welcome to Let's Talk, our weekly SQPN community podcast. Glad you could join us again this week. We've got a couple of panelists, one of whom is a returning panelist to Let's Talk. The other is new, but our returning panelist knows our new panelist quite well. So we have Shelley Kelly and her husband Brian is joining us today for Let's Talk. How are you both doing?
We're doing great, Father. Thanks.
Fine, Father. Thank you.
Well, glad you can both join us, and this works out well. They're both joining us from one microphone, so hopefully you'll be able to hear them pretty well, but it seems like they're doing well. Shelley, of course, you've been on before. Brian, why don't you tell us a little about yourself so people can know about you?
Sure. Grew up in Oklahoma, visited Texas as quickly as I could, and decided to stay, and my wife and I met '93. Anyway, so basically I've just been around and tried to do the sporting thing and the softball thing and be a good husband to my wife.
Well, that's a very good thing, and that actually kind of talks about or leads into the topic we're going to talk about is a very controversial one, at least it is within the church sometimes, and that's youth sports. And now, what's both your backgrounds in youth sports?
Well, my background, I didn't play youth sports so much as a kid. I was on the dance and then a drill team in high school, but that really wasn't what youth sports has evolved into to today.
Right.
I have three children. We have three children. Sorry, honey. And our oldest, we got her introduced into recreational sports. We tried soccer. We tried dance. I'm sure there was something else, maybe gymnastics. And she played softball. And then she started riding horses. Mm. Thank you to Papa. And our second daughter hated soccer, hated dance, fell in love with softball. Mm. So we started down that path. Our youngest, there's a large age difference between our two girls and our son. He grew up on a softball field.
Oh, sure.
So he's all baseball all the time. Future MLB told me with all seriousness, Mom, I'm going to play in college, D1, and then I hope to be drafted to the MLB. Okay. He's good seven.
Good for him. That's a good goal.
So, Brian has a different take, though, because you did play.
So, I played baseball at a very early age, and I have one brother who's 9 years younger than me. And so, we didn't really play together. I was into sports and cars and girls, and he was into Legos and building blocks. Yeah. So, we didn't have much of a relationship then. Of course, we do now, but so I grew up playing a little bit of soccer, but mostly baseball. Tried out for a D1 college, but I'm way too small. So it worked out okay. But baseball has always been very close to my heart, and mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed it. And so when the girls decided they wanted to try softball, I was ecstatic, but I had no idea how different softball was from baseball. Mm-hmm. So it's been a learning experience, but it's been a wonderful journey.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm a huge baseball fan. I really never played. I think I did like 1 year in third grade when we lived in a town that had a youth baseball program. But for those of us who are baseball fans, the rules of softball are quite a bit different, and how the game's played and everything is quite a bit different. It's pretty funny how that works.
Yes.
And I also did some basketball. I really wasn't much of a sports person. I played a little bit of basketball, a little bit, did some track, and it was just kind of like, whatever. I was more into computers at that time. What a surprise. I haven't grown out of that either. But, you know, the youth sports has changed. I think you've kind of alluded to it, and you've probably seen it, that even small towns like up here in Montana, youth sports has changed from when we were in high school.
Absolutely.
You know, at least again in Montana, high school sports was pretty much it. You know, you didn't have anything outside of what the high school provided in most towns. You know, you might in the bigger cities, but most towns you had the high school teams and you had the, you know, junior high and elementary, and that was about it. And I don't know if that was your experience as well.
So when I grew up, I had never known anything about select anything. It was just rec ball. I grew up on rec ball, and then I played high school ball.
Yep.
Things have changed tremendously over the years, and now it's funny. My daughter's high school team, unless you play select ball, you will not make their high school team.
Wow.
Period. All these girls that are playing on a select team. There's several that are going to large Power 5 D1 schools after they graduate. And so who you see on the field right now in high school, a lot of these girls grew up playing each other and playing with each other on their select team. They play together.
Sure.
One of my daughter's friends is on the same team with her right now, and she's in a rival school in the district, so they see each other twice a year playing for their high schools. And on the field, they're very competitive. And then off the field, they're all, you know, giving hugs and high fives and pictures and selfies. And I'm sitting there going, well, we just played a game. You're not supposed to like her right now. So, but it has changed tremendously. So there's a huge difference in where we grew up versus where we are today.
It's become a business.
Oh, yeah. You know, we see
a real investment.
We see that in Montana as well. You know, there's a big controversy here because, of course, you've got the, you know, Montana High School Association. That's the official, you know, organization that handles all high school sports. And I can't remember what the name of the national organization that's moving in. But there's, you know, there's more of a national outside of high school extracurricular, I guess you could call it, league that's kind of moving in. And that's causing a lot of controversy because the high school association is trying to push out those players who play on these other leagues. And of course, the parents and the kids are fighting that. They want to be able to do both. Another thing we have a lot of here in Montana are the tournaments, the traveling, they call them traveling teams, and the invitational tournaments where,
yes,
you know, every town will have it, like we call it Swish Fest here. Another town will have the, you know, so-and-so memorial tournament where it was a kid who died or something happened. And so now they've got this tournament to honor him, and it's every weekend now. If there's not
very familiar with that,
you know, if it's not high school basketball, the official MHSA basketball travel, it's these tournaments. And it's a concern. I started out by saying it was a controversy within the church, at least in this area, because of course, when are these tournaments held?
Weekends.
All weekend.
And of course, you know, they don't start till noon on Sunday, right? Yeah, right.
I was at the ball field last Sunday morning. We had to be there at 7:15 for an 8 o'clock game.
Yep.
Now, we've never gone. This is my 7-year-old's baseball team. We've never played more than one, I think, maybe two games at this age level on a Sunday. It's single elimination. We're a new team. This is just for experience now. They won. Then we had about a 2-hour gap and had to come back for another game. They won. Then we played another game And I'm sitting here going, oh, I was going to do the 5 p.m. mass. They won. Now we're in the championship game.
Yep.
At 6.
Of course.
So I couldn't go at 8. Couldn't go Saturday because we were playing a game in the afternoon. Couldn't go Sunday morning at 8. I could have snuck in maybe during the procession to the 10 a.m. mass, all in my, you know, jeans, yep, and hoodie, son in baseball uniform with cleats, sweaty, and then snuck out right after communion and made the game. But I thought I would go to the 5.
Yeah.
it didn't work. And I feel terrible about it. I don't know what I shoulda, coulda, woulda done.
Well, my advice usually is try to squeeze it in like that. But, you know, that's part of the big difficulty is, and I think it's kind of a bigger concern, not just with mass, but with these kids' schedules as a whole, because they're busy Monday through Friday with school. And then Friday night, they've got enough time basically to pack everything up and go to this tournament on Saturday and Sunday. And then they come home, hopefully with enough time to get their weekend homework done if they didn't get it done on Friday.
Or in the car.
Yep. Or in the car. And
between
then
the games.
And then Monday, they start up all over again.
Yeah, that's more what we experience with our older daughter, or the second daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's been on a travel select team now 4 years.
Since 12U. She's 18U now. She's 16.
Yeah, but about 4 years. And it's been a struggle, but I will tell you that how her character has grown and developed has more benefits than the negative. Playing, and I can't speak for the other sports, but I don't want to leave them out. I know there's parents who deal with this with lacrosse and soccer, and I assume basketball. I know nothing about basketball, any other sports. But when you play on a team, you develop a real sense of commitment, perseverance, that fortitude, you grow, you learn very quickly about choosing your attitude. You learn about sacrifice.
Oh, yes.
And it's an all family commitment. And you make of it what you make of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you choose to see it as a negative, you should probably stop.
Right.
If it's causing that much chaos and harm to the family, yes, stop. It might not be for you. You might have to back it up. Just play a rec team. Play it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But watching her, we've gone through different spurts where I'm going to quit. No, I love this game. I'm going to quit. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to do different things. No, my friends are my team. I can't let them down. I made a commitment. And Brian and I were talking before, what was the age you said for girls that they usually hit that moment where they're either going to quit or continue?
So for girls, it's very interesting in that there's a huge fork in the road for softball. That age is 14.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because at age 14, girls... there's several reasons. First, girls find boys, and they no longer have cooties. they have different interests. They want to go out and hang out at the mall. They want to go do girl things.
Right.
Brenna, she fights that every day. There's things. She's missed proms. She's missed dances and this sort of thing. Because she has a commitment to her team. And that's hard for her. We twice a year, I sit down with her before the season starts, because season is basically broken, or the year is broken into two seasons.
Sure.
And we play throughout the year, the whole year.
Oh, wow.
Down here in Texas, it's spring. Yeah. So, I mean, I calculated it. I think we have roughly 6 to 7 weeks off for the whole year.
Wow.
And then we're playing. So the age is 14, where you either decide you're going to play select ball or you decide to go do other things, because at age 14 and you have 16 and 18 U teams that don't form because all the girls that really enjoy the game are playing select ball now. So there's no rec.
And what about for boys? Do we have an idea?
Boys, it's a little bit later. My understanding is about 16. Because now they're driving and now they're doing other things. Right. But and that's the same thing with all the other sports too. I know a family friend of ours, their daughter plays competitive lacrosse, and it seems like every other weekend, since lacrosse is big in the Northeast, they're always flying up to the Northeast for these competitive tournaments. So it's crazy. It's a whole other world out there.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's some parents that don't have kids that are playing competitively. They sit there and look at us and frown at us and say, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you spending so much money, so much time, so much energy and effort? And what it is, it's for the love of the game.
Right.
My daughter loves the game. She hates to practice.
Everybody does.
And no, so
our son loves practice.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's a commitment, like Shelley said. And I will tell you that my daughter, as much as she can be goofy, she has probably one of the best characters that you will ever know.
Well, that's,
and I contribute that to softball.
That's the difficulty in criticizing sports too heavily. You know, again, as a priest, I have a bit different perspective because I see the harm that sports does to the church. I mean, to be honest,
absolutely.
You know, it pulls people out of the church because they're more focused on sports than they are on their faith.
Yes.
But I also see the benefit of sports. You know, you do see the kids who they develop a maturity. They develop generosity, you know, at least among their friends. But you also see, you know, again, being out here where these small towns, kids, and I saw this in high school as well. I mean, kids here have gotten to know kids from other towns, you know, even their rivals, you know, the neighboring towns that we always compete against that are rivals, and they're friends with these kids and they go and spend time with these kids. They'll go over to the town of Glasgow, 70 miles away, and spend time with these competing kids, and they enjoy their company and they enjoy being with each other. And it does allow for maturity. Now, with the caveat is that's if the team is managed well by the coaches.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you got a coach who is win at all costs, that hurts the kids.
Yes.
That negates a lot of these benefits of sports. But by and large, if you have a good coach who knows what he's doing and he does it well, it is a positive benefit for the kids. It is hard though, again, to find that balance between the needs of the sports, you know, the demands of sports and the demands of faith, you know, bringing faith in. Now, to be fair, you know, we've had popes who have encouraged sports. John Paul II was huge in promoting sports as, you know, recreation, as for growing in spiritual development and all these kind of things. So, I mean, it really, it's not something that's opposed to faith. We just need to find that balance.
Yeah. And you said that right there, you said how much the coach influences the team and managing the team. And we've gone through several teams where we had issues with the coach, and the coach is the single most important part of the team. If you have a positive coach, one whose goal isn't just win at all costs, but the growth and development of your players, both professionally and personally, both athletically and as the whole person, you're on a good team because you can have conversations. You can teach your daughter to or son to be more independent. Hey, coach has benched me and I don't know why. Have you had that conversation with coach? I'm not going to have that conversation. because he's the coach. But you need to step up and say, hey, coach, what did I do? How do I improve it? What do you want me to do to fix it? And how do I prove that to you?
Yep.
And so that's a good conversation. I have pulled my daughter off a team because of a bad coach. Right. Or I haven't. He has. I turn to him and say, she's not playing for that person anymore. The other half of that, when you talk about faith, is faith in the home. It's how you've raised them all the way up. And my son, we do make time for a kids club. Kids club, which our CCE program.
Okay.
It comes first. Thank goodness it's on Monday nights, not not on Tuesday night practice night. My daughter, the only part of CCE that my daughter did not go to is the last year, year and a half of Edge. That's our middle school program.
Okay, sure.
But she did go back in and Life Teen, mm-hmm. our first night in confirmation, our second year, was more important than the sports. She would leave practice early. She missed tournaments. Mm. She had to actually evangelize to the team what confirmation was because the coach isn't Catholic. He's Christian, but he didn't know what confirmation is.
Sure.
And she had to tell him what it is and why it was important to her and why it was more important than that tournament or this practice. And he said, okay, how long is this personal commitment? And she told him when it was. And mm-hmm. he said, okay, I'll give you leave early on practice this day and you can miss that tournament for a retreat. And I want you back, this, that, the other. Well, she continues to go on our fall retreat mm-hmm. post-confirmation, and she keeps going back in and telling him, hey, this is a church retreat weekend. I'm not going to be available. And he knows her now. And he's like, okay, come back next weekend.
And the really interesting thing about this coach, I will tell you, like Shelley said, we've run the gauntlet on coaches. Mm-hmm. This coach, I would consider to be probably the best coach that we've had.
Oh, that's awesome.
And when our daughter goes up to explain this to him, he not only sits there and listens to her, like Shelley said, he wants her to explain it to the team. So the team understands how much, how important it is for her.
Right.
And the team gets behind her. And you don't see that very often. Mm-hmm. These girls, once you find a good chemistry with these girls, oh my gosh, it is phenomenal.
But they also pray first before the games.
And, absolutely.
And I often see her go up to the plate. She's got her bat. You've watched baseball players.
Oh, yeah.
They've always got this little routine when they step up to the plate. Some cross themselves. She's got that bat on. She's like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, across
nice.
The plate. And
well,
our
awesome.
Son has picked it up. I watched him step up to the plate, 7 years old, and I see him all serious. And there have been a lot of prayers being said during games.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, Hail Mary, please let him catch this. That ball goes up in the air. I can get through the whole Hail Mary before it comes down.
Exactly.
And there have been tournaments where I find myself getting really worked up. This is when she was younger, before I matured myself. But I find myself getting really worked up. And at the other team, maybe the parents would be trash talking. And you've got to calm yourself down. Or, you know, oh, God, if we could just win this one, if we could get this and we'll that. And all of a sudden, I remember hearing once, not my will, but thy will. And I was praying the Our Father. It was like, oh, God, Our Father, who art in heaven, please, please, please. And I got to that line, thy will be done. And I went, oh, you had to teach me a lesson here, didn't you?
Yeah.
I literally felt it and I took that breath and it was like, okay, not my will. Okay, God, if you want us to continue down this, then you'll open the door. It was closed. We went home.
Yep.
But I had a better sense of peace and balance after I realized that. And then my mantra became, I love to watch her play. I'm not here for her to win a game or a tournament. I'm here to watch my daughter grow into a responsible, independent adult. That's my job. And to get her to heaven, she's got to have that foundation mm-hmm. in her faith. But I am here because I love to watch her play. And once I started doing that, it calmed me down as a parent. And I'm right. able to sit back, relax, maybe keep the book, and just enjoy it.
Well, and I'll tell you that when you tell any child at any age, don't criticize them right after the game and say, well, you didn't do this right, mm-hmm. you didn't do that right. If you just walk up to them, give them a hug and say, I love to watch you play. When they had a bad game, it's incredible how quickly that attitude changes mm-hmm. and the outlook changes. It's everything. So you have to keep it into perspective as much as you want it to rule.
Yep.
It's a game.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing worse. Again, for me as a fan, I enjoy sports. I enjoy watching sports. I enjoy supporting sports. I haven't done as much recently for supporting like the local high school as I used to, but I enjoy it. But I hate seeing those parents. And I'm sure you know those parents because every sport, every team, every league has them. They're constantly yelling. They're yelling at their kids. They're yelling at the other kids. They're yelling at the refs and the umpires. They're yelling at the coaches. They're yelling at the announcers on the radio. They're yelling at everybody. Nobody is doing good enough for these parents. And I hate to say it. These are usually, they were like the high school stars when they were in high school, but that's kind of where their sporting career ended.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to relive that when they were in high school. At least, again, that's what I see around here. They're trying to relive their high school experience through their kids. And when their kids don't match up or other players don't match up, they make sure people know.
Well, just so you know, you just described me a few years ago.
Yep.
And I wish I was kidding. But what I have had to learn, I've had to grow up and I've had to learn how to handle, losses and wins for my child. You want it so badly for them. And the question is it really for them? Are you allowing them to play the game?
Right.
And that's hard to separate sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of turn the topic a little bit, talking about, the measure of faith in sports. And as I said, John Paul II was very serious about using sports as a form of evangelization. I found a page here from a Catholic high school somewhere where it's all just quotes of John Paul II in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually an academy. It's even higher rank than just a high school. But he was very serious about that sports were something that could develop people, but could also be a form of evangelization. And I think that's something, I don't know, maybe you have ideas. You kind of mentioned a little bit about it, but what the church can do to use sports as evangelization and reaching out to maybe these groups and such that are involved in sports to proclaim our message. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? What we could do?
Yes. I don't know if you want me to go over them, but
a couple. I'm like glad to hear.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah. No, it's hard to intertwine the two on some levels because mm-hmm. you have that competitive spirit, win at all costs, fire and brimstone, you're going to do it. And then you got to remember they're all God's children. Right. As mm-hmm. much as sometimes you don't like that picture on the other side,
Well, that's just the difference of being competitive and wanting to win, but not crossing the line into a more divisive dissent.
Right. But when you're talking about how the church can get more involved in that, it really starts, I think, with the high school level, maybe the youth directors
ideas.
And all that kind of thing. You have ideas?
I have some ideas.
Okay, you have
ideas. So one of the things I when we do travel, I have to look up where there's a church and what their mass times are.
Right.
So I can use mass times to do that. But as I mentioned to you before we started, sometimes I don't feel comfortable walking into mass, especially in a place where I don't know the people in my I'm a sports mom shirt and my blue jeans with my ball cap hair. So you got to take the hat off.
Oh, yeah.
And my son's in, or my daughter has been playing a game. She's covered in dirt. She's been sliding. She's been catching pine tar on their hands. Got to go wash everything off. And then we come in and you get those looks.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of sneak in the back. And we're usually first two rows. We're right up front. But you sneak in the back and maybe you're on a time crunch. So you might be slipping in and horrible it is to say they're about to start the first reading or worse, they're on the psalm. And you know that if you're going to make that time, you go up and you receive and you walk right out the back door, which we never do. And so we feel terrible. Right. You feel that you're being judged and looked at for not being appropriately reverent and respectful, especially if you're in a place you have never been and you feel all those eyes on you. So I don't know that that's anything that the church could do, but they might be able to advertise on some of the programs or on their websites. Hey, don't forget, you know,
yep.
St. Angela's offers Mass at 8, 10, 12, and 5. Come on over in your jerseys. You know, we'd love to see you.
Mm-hmm. All sports teams are welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how big a deal it is at your parish. I even thought too late, hey, we could have driven over to the church by my office. But again, I'm in jeans and a t-shirt and he's in his, you know, uniform with cleats. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah. And my thought on that is God doesn't care how you're dressed. I mean, I know you're supposed to be reverent and I understand that. Yep. In the, our priest at our local parish really kind of makes a note of that, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that God, he took his disciples. They weren't all angels. You know what I'm saying? They kind of had their own. They kind of had their own issues. So if he is okay with, you know, the least of us, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
then I should think that God's okay with me coming in like I look and in being a part of that Mass.
Right.
Maybe that's because I was a cradle Catholic and raised that you put on your Sunday best and mm-hmm. you got there early and you stayed for the whole Mass and then left.
Well, and I agree with that.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Well, you also see scripture verses on the backs of batting helmets or, mm-hmm. or different. So God is present at these games. It just may not always be as visible as you right. want it to be.
Right. Well, and I agree generally that on your average Sunday where you've got the time, it's not like you're busy. You're hanging around the house. Oh, we better get ready for Mass. Yes. You shower, you shave, you get dressed up, you know, you make yourself somewhat respectable looking and you go to Mass, you know, and mm-hmm. you get there early and you stay late type of deal. But yeah, if you're squeezing it in, how is that any different than somebody who's working, say, at a hospital or nursing home and has to duck in late and sneak out early because they've got this much time during their shift that they could go to Mass and they're in their scrubs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
good point.
There's different scenarios. It's I would argue that the complaint against people who don't dress up for Mass are the people who just show up in t-shirt and jeans and not because that's their, you know, work outfit, but that's because they were too lazy to get dressed up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's I would argue that's a legitimate complaint at that moment.
You know, I would agree with you.
You know,
so I'll give you one too. We were driving to Colorado. We drove in, spent the night in Amarillo. And I thought, oh, we should get it. It's Sunday. She'd get up and go to mass. But all we had were our, we just had our car bag. Mm-hmm. We were all in leggings and long t-shirts. And I was like, do we go to mass? And then we couldn't get anybody up. We were so tired from 12 hours of driving the day before. Do we go to mass? Oh.
And the answer is yes, but we didn't make it.
Yeah, it's
imperfection.
Well, and I will agree that it's been a complaint of mine for many parishes is we don't welcome people well. We don't, you know, you always hear the story of the little old lady that's glowering at someone all the way through mass because you sat in her pew, assuming she didn't just stand up to you and say, this is my pew and you will move. And I've heard that happening. we don't welcome people. You know, if someone's there, great. Again, it's one thing if you're the passing through family that you are traveling and you didn't pack nice clothes for whatever reason, and so be it. It's another thing if you're there every weekend and you're wearing the same sloppy clothes every weekend. That's a very different scenario. But we don't welcome people well when it comes to things like that. And I agree, that's one thing we could do. I like the idea actually of putting the parish mass times in the schedule, you know, especially a larger parish where they might have five or six masses on a Sunday where you can say, hey, I know your Sunday's busy, but you can find time here somewhere, I bet, to come to mass. So here's our mass schedule.
Yeah, especially if the church is really, really close to the ball field.
Yeah,
that's a really good help. Now, something else that comes to mind, we've traveled a lot in these last, 4 years. Mm-hmm. There's usually a 2-week stretch where we are traveling for softball. And we've started to make those not just drive up, play, and leave. But sometimes you drive up and you might play 2 games in the morning and then have 4 or 5 hours in the evening where mm-hmm. you can do something local. So we've started looking up places of religious interest, you know. Right. So I was telling you before we started, we went to Colorado. We've had the big, what's that tournament?
The Colorado Sparklers. Fireworks.
Yeah. Mm. So we've had a big softball tournament up there three of the last 4 years. And twice we've made it a point to go to the St. Francis Cabrini Shrine. Mm. I wouldn't have just gone there, but we were already there. I was looking around for things to do in 4 to 5 hours if we had an afternoon free. So when our schedule came out, we drove up there. We loved it as a family. Beautiful. We loved it so much. We came back 2 years later. So then the next time we went up there, we purposefully scheduled an extra day to drive through Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. And when we went to Santa Fe, really, for one reason, we went to go see the chapel mm-hmm. where the staircase yep. is.
The Loretta Chapel.
Mm-hmm. And when we did that, then we did it. It was beautiful. We walked into the square and I turned my head and there's the cathedral, St. Francis. I said, oh, let's walk down there and poke our heads in there. Oh, my gosh, it was beautiful.
That's what I've heard.
And they had all these relics. It was overwhelming and just... We just went in there, hadn't even thought about it. And then the next morning, we purposefully had planned mass, and we went to Chimeo, which is about an hour north. And I understand it's a pilgrimage spot, and I won't go into the details, but I'm just trying to show that we started incorporating places of faith in our travel. So as we become more aware of the time commitment of some of these sports-related activities, we're also seeking opportunities where we can continue to show to our children that our faith is more important and we can still incorporate it. So that it's a challenge, but you have to plan it. But if you're purposeful and mindful about it,
right.
God will lead you to it.
Absolutely.
Well, sure. I mean, how many of these families will plan other things around those trips, you know, more secular type pursuits isn't good as those are, because I'm sure their families are going to museums. They're when they go on travels, they're going to, mm-hmm. you know, boarding or concerts or going to movies, or, you know, they're doing things as part of these trips. So that's good.
And we're now doing cathedrals.
That's a good thing.
And relics. We love the relics.
That's cool.
You know, and coming into the church, I'm pretty gung ho. Mm-hmm. about all this. And I, it's really exciting to me. Everything is new to me, refreshing to me. It's a totally different thing. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, we've got these 2 weeks. What baseball fields can we go and visit? What, mm-hmm. you know, what national parks have we not hit? You know, the MLB parks. Now I'm thinking, what shrine can we go to? What, nice. What church can we go to? You're telling me we're driving for 2 weeks and playing for 2 weeks and we can't take 2 hours out of our time to go to two masses.
Yeah.
You know, it's unacceptable. Now it is.
Yeah. Well, that's just example. I mean, it's we have to live our example that, yes, we consider sports as a good thing, as important, but we consider our faith as a better thing and more important. You know,
right? Exactly. Well, and the movie A League of Their Own,
mm-hmm.
right? When they're all in the church, and Tom Hanks comes in. You know, hey, let's go. We gotta go. You know, God gets us. He understands. And then he's kicking everybody out, and then he turns around and does the sign of the cross real yep. quick. It's like, okay,
right. I love that. We're good. I love that good. Movie. That's one of my favorites. That's just such a Absolutely. Great movie.
We quote it all the time. Now, the good parts we quote all the time.
Yeah, there's certain parts. Yeah, not so much. But
yeah.
So, well, is there anything else you would like to share about youth sports?
No, just if your kids are interested in sports, remember you're the parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you set the tone, you set the priorities. For us, it's something we enjoy. The scheduling has become more and more challenging, but as we enjoy it as a family, and our 7-year-old thinks that there is nothing better in the world than to go on a travel tournament, get to stay in a hotel, all 5 of us together. It brings the family together in ways we didn't expect.
Sure.
Now it's challenging. Also, we have practice. For our daughter is almost an hour drive one way. And so you and she have gotten the opportunity to have good conversations and one-on-one time and gotten to know each other on a personal level that maybe you wouldn't have had here just at the house.
Well, I would say this. There is a personal connection that you make with each of your children in whatever facet that may be. For me, it's connecting with my daughter during that time, whether we talk about school, whether we talk about, God forbid, boys, for, you know, whatever we're talking about, music, what we classify as real music versus what they put out today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance to bond. It's a character building and a relationship building opportunity. If you allow it to become burdensome, then it's not worth it.
Sure.
But take advantage of every second that you have with each of your kids. I mean, I've got one now in college. I wish I'd spent so much more time with her. But yeah, just enjoy it for what it is. And keep in mind, it's a game. Keep mm-hmm. in mind, the kids are playing and not you. There's a reason why you're sitting in the bleachers and not on the field. So, I mean, just keep that in mind, because I've been that parent. I've been the one that's yelled at the umpire. I've been the one that's gotten mad at the coach and I wanted to yell at him, which, by the way, the select teams have a fantastic way of handling that. They have a 24-hour rule that if you disagree or have an issue with something that was done or said in the tournament, you cannot approach the coach for 24 hours. It's a cooling off period and gives you an opportunity. Right. It gives you an opportunity to kind of really gather your thoughts. And was it really that bad is what I thought it was yesterday. So I would say, has it been worth it? Yes. Has the financial commitment been worth it? Ask us on the day we write the checks.
Yeah.
But all in all, if I was given the opportunity to do it again, I would absolutely do it.
Very good. Very good. And that's good. Good point to wrap up the discussion. So just take a quick break before we go on to our picks of the week. I want to thank you once again for listening to Let's Talk and the other SQPN community podcasts. We have so many great podcasts to listen to. Of course, our Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who, Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, Catholics of Oz, so many others. I hope you're enjoying our podcast, and I hope you'll share and like our podcast, especially on Facebook. You can like and comment there. You can leave comments on our YouTube site, share our YouTube links, and of course, subscribe through iTunes, Google Podcasts, and the other podcast sites and apps. We definitely want to thank those who support SQPN through our Patreon site. You can go to SQPN.com/give and join our Patreon site where you can donate so much a month to SQPN. You get rewards for that. We also have some SQPN or some Patreon only benefits, such as helping Jimmy Akin choose show topics. He will do one topic a month for Mysterious World on whatever the patrons on Patreon decide. This week, I'd like to thank some of our patrons: Jeffrey M., Richard H., Michael F., Jonathan R., and Father Andrew. Thank you, and all those who support SQPN for your generous help. It keeps us going. It keeps the lights on, figuratively, and in Dom's case, literally. And so I know he appreciates that very much. We are looking for some volunteer help as well. We need people who are experienced with audio editing, especially with Adobe Audition, to help us edit some of our shows. We also need people to be producers to help set up our schedule of shows and the topics, such as Let's Talk, you know, help me pick topics that we can discuss. Me and Dom both that we can discuss. So please do contact Dom about that. help@sqpn.com. So now we're going to go on to our picks of the week. Now, did you both do picks, or you guys got a joint pick?
Well, I have one, and I have one he can use.
There you go.
My pick is actually a book. We got this book for my daughter, I guess when she was 14 or 15, and she was making this transition. When you get into high school and you start to face tougher competition, you realize that it's a mind game, and you can psych yourself out. You can step up to the plate, and your mind is going so much that you just can't perform. Mm. So we had a coach who recommended to us a book called Mind Gym. It's MindGym, and it's about psychologically getting in the right space for the game. So it's Mind Gym, An Athlete's Guide to Inner Excellence. It's written by Gary Mack, and it's short segments, vignettes, chapters that have exercises for you to mentally prepare yourself and exercise your mind to be able to go into these highly competitive, tough situations. And I think it really helped her. I've given this as a gift to my niece and goddaughter who plays competitive soccer. I think I gave it to a nephew also. But I recommend it to a lot of parents as their kids begin to grow into more competitive ball.
Oh, very good. Sounds very interesting. And how about you, Brian? What pick did Shelley pick out for you?
So I was very fortunate in that I looked really hard for about 30 seconds, and my wife gave me something to talk about. So,
that works.
Yeah. So
always here to support you, honey.
Right. My pick is an app that you can put on your phone or your iPad or your Android device. It's called Game Changer. And what it does, it's basically a virtual type scorebook or a book that you can keep online. It keeps stats for you, fielding stats, and it's just for softball and baseball, is my understanding. That's okay. The only thing I've seen from it. But it's really interesting. You can set up all your lineups and all your teams, and so once you play a team, that opposing team's information is still in there. So if you play them again, you don't have to reset it up. But they show the actual field. It's a description of the field. Mm-hmm. And it does a play-by-play. They just added this. It's really interesting. They added a play-by-play to where if you're driving, you can have the app on and you can listen to the game. They have the sounds of the ball hitting the bat and the crowd screaming in the background. And so-and-so just hit a single and brought in two runs or whatever. But the really interesting thing that they do is it's a paid subscription, but you're allowed to invite fans. So you can invite your friends and family to keep up with your kids or your, you know, whatever.
Right.
And in that way, and it sends you an email update. Hey, this game's about to start. So you can hop right online, listen to the game or watch the game if you choose to. And it keeps, like I said, it keeps the stats the whole season. So when those college coaches come a knocking, you have stats ready for
there
them.
There you go.
So it's a fantastic tool.
That is interesting. So instead of just being, you know, keeping the scorebook like the old style books that you used to get at the, you can still get at the stadiums, but instead you're doing it in the phone, and then people can be digitally kind of like the ESPN where they've got the score or the game tracker where you can sit and watch the updates of the game.
That's right. And with this, grandma and grandpa who are 300 miles away who can't make it can actually watch the game virtually through this app.
Well, that's cool. That's really interesting. Yeah. That was a neat idea.
Absolutely. I wished I'd thought of it.
No kidding. That's one of those ideas where you look at it and go, wow. If I had made that, whoever thought this is making money. That's awesome. Oh,
absolutely. I just know it's not me.
Yeah, exactly. I know that feeling. So my pick is something a little bit different, but of course, being Lent, we have our meatless Fridays. And so my pick is fish fries, Parrish and Knights of Columbus fish fries. So here are Knights of Columbus do the fish fry in the church basement. Fortunately, they've got a trailer that they do the actual frying of fish outside the church, you know, so that the church doesn't smell like fried fish for the next week. But they're always worth it. You know, I've never gone to a Parrish fish fry and said, it wasn't so good. But it's always worth, you know, of course, you get the community aspect and everything, and you're supporting usually the parish or the Knights of Columbus or some other organization.
Right.
And you get a good meal. You get a really good meal, and it's very much worth it. So I encourage you, if you haven't yet this Lent, find your local fish fry or fish fries. You know, for those of you with multiple parish and Knights of Columbus councils and everything, there might be several of them close to you. I know when I lived in the St. Louis metropolitan area, the big thing was to try a different fish fry every Friday. There were so many of them that you would go to different parishes and different Knights of Columbus halls and whatever else and try a different fish fry and then kind of figure out which was your favorite. So
that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So something to think about for the rest of this Lent. You know, as you're traveling around, find your fish fries as you're finding your mass schedule as well. So
I think we're going to come up with a new app, where to find a fish fry in Lent while you're traveling for baseball and softball.
There you go. Just yet another app. Maybe that could be an extension of the masstimes.org is fishfries.org.
There you go. Love it.
So, well, very good. Well, Shelley and Brian, where can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, I blog at Of Sound Mind and Spirit. But we're a little more active on the Facebook page these days. Oh, so right. I would tell people to go there. And if you really want to see good baseball, softball pictures, you can go to my Instagram. It's Shelley SMAS for Sound Mind and Spirit.
Excellent.
And I've got, I haven't started it yet, but I do have a Facebook page called The Catholic Sporty.
Oh, cool.
And I haven't really put much up on it yet because I refuse to do that until I'm actually confirmed next month.
Ah, very good.
So I can't technically call myself a Catholic sporty yet, but it's coming.
That sounds good. No, that's something to look forward to at the end of April.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Father.
And again, congratulations on coming into the church.
Thank you.
I'm Father Corey Stika. Once again, you can find my homilies at frcorey.org. You can find me throughout the SQPN podcast network with Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who, and I pop up on other ones once in a while. If you'd like to send us feedback on this episode of Let's Talk or any others, you can send that to letstalk@sqpn.com. And as I think of it, we actually have a little bit of feedback for this week, so we'll close with that once I can pull it up. I just remembered it. let's see here. So Hannah sends us an email. Hey, I appreciate your podcast. I like the first one I listened to, only listened to one so far, where you guys are talking about priest life and how you got there. As a former Cradle Southern Baptist, it helps me to get you. Now that I'm a Roman Catholic, I feel like your podcast might sort of catch me up on what I've missed and what I don't know, haven't learned after RCIA. Priests are people too. Yes, we are. It's hard to believe we're not robots. We're not automatons. We are people, for better or worse. You know, that means we don't always live as we should. But thank you very much, Hannah, for all of you who listen. But thank you very much for your feedback. We greatly appreciate that. Thank you once again for listening to Let's Talk, and God bless.